Welcome to the latest edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog. The title for tonight's broadcast, The Blind Leading the Blind Behind a Psychopathic Mind. Now, I want to give you a warning before I begin. This broadcast is not for the faint of heart. If you are in a group that hangs a Ukrainian flag on your garage door, or an Israeli flag for that matter, you, as they say, cannot see the forest through the trees. And if you still harbor the belief that your government is here to help and looking out for your best interest, then I suggest you plop down in your seat and continue to drink the Kool-Aid offered by CNN or MSDNC. However, if you are indeed ready for a strong dose of reality, then keep listening as I'm about to drop a few serious truth bombs about our immediate future. And at the end of this broadcast, after what I'm about to share, I want you to ask yourself, number one, are our leaders nothing more than a large group of blind psychopaths who enable each other with their illusions, leading our planet to destruction? Or number two, are they simply puppets with strings being pulled from higher ups, deliberately directing our destruction? Now, I suppose either is plausible. Frankly, I lean toward number two, and I will share several reasons why. But truthfully, it doesn't matter at this point, as either one is currently leading us to the same destination. It is glaringly obvious to me, and should be to anyone in the world paying attention, that many of the people occupying positions of power around the globe, not just here in the United States, but all over the world, are either clueless or crazy or compromised or bought off and paid for. Now, let me start with just a couple of examples. Number one, Joe Biden being interviewed just this past Sunday by Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. Have a listen to this.
Are the wars in Israel and Ukraine more than the United States can take on at the same time?
We're the United States of America, for God's sake. The most powerful nation in the history, not in the world, in the history of the world. The history of the world. We can take care of both of these and still maintain our overall international defense.
The United States is currently $33.2 trillion in debt, with more being paid out in interest on that debt than the entire bloated defense budget. Of course, it should be called the offense budget, by the way. The United States has currently, on record, allocated more than $113 billion, and that's billion with a B, billion dollars to Ukraine in their conflict. A losing cause, by the way, as Russia has decimated the Ukraine military, and the Ukraine military casualties are reported to have topped over 400,000. Yet this arrogant, and I would suggest you fill in the blank, is he an idiot? Is he a fool? Is he a compromised pawn? Is he a controlled puppet? What planet is this guy on? But he's not alone. We also have the current secretary, the treasury of the treasury secretary, parroting outlandish nonsense that only a mind-numbed idiot could believe. And I want you to listen to this.
I started by asking her whether there are any conditions attached to America's support for Israel, given the unfolding humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Her answer to that was very clear. She said, quote, America stands behind Israel, period. I also asked her whether America could afford to support two foreign wars at the same time, and a similarly clear answer to that, absolutely. And this was why she said absolutely.
The American economy is doing extremely well. Inflation has been high, and it's been a concern to households. It's come down considerably. At the same time, we have about the strongest labor market we've seen in 50 years with 3.8% unemployment. We've seen a burgeoning of investment, especially in manufacturing, an industrial renaissance in the United States.
That was Janet Yellen being interviewed recently by CNBC. Now, I won't even take the time to break down that concoction of lies, as if you live in the United States, you are already reminded every time you go to the gas pump, the grocery store, you get your renewed lease agreement for your apartment or condominium, or you buy anything for that matter. But that shouldn't be your gravest concern at this point. For these two, both Yellen and Biden, among many other leaders in the world, are pledging their allegiance to Israel in what is currently a tinderbox in the Middle East, and it's just seeking a spark to ignite. Now, I want you to listen to this. This was signed, what I'm about to share with you was signed on October 9th. It's called the Joint Statement on Israel. Today, the leaders of France, Germany, Italy, the United Kingdom, and the United States of America released the following joint statement following their call. It was a conference call. It says, today, we, President Macron of France, Chancellor Scholz of Germany, Prime Minister Meloni of Italy, Prime Minister Sunak of the United Kingdom, and of course President Biden of the United States, express our steadfast and united support to the State of Israel and our unequivocal condemnation of Hamas and its appalling acts of terrorism. We make clear that the terrorist actions of Hamas have no justification, no legitimacy, and must be universally condemned. There is never any justification for terrorism. In recent days, the world has watched in horror as Hamas terrorists massacred families in their homes, slaughtered over 200 young people enjoying a musical festival, and kidnapped an elderly woman or women, children, and entire families who are now being held as hostages. To be clear, this, my friends, is a trap. And if you don't know why, just go back and listen to my last broadcast called Deja Vu All Over Again. It's on my website, theamericanawakening.org. You can go in at your leisure, click it, listen for yourself. Now, whether one sides with Israel or Hamas or Palestine, it is at this point inconsequential. Sending an aircraft carrier group to the Middle East when both Hezbollah and Iran have missiles capable of sinking every ship in the area is about the dumbest move anyone could make. It's beyond stupid. I dare to say it's suicidal. But they don't seem to care. $113 billion in aid to Ukraine at the expense of 400,000-plus Ukrainian soldiers dead and millions of Ukrainian citizens that have become refugees have left Ukraine, many that have been interviewed, almost all, say never to return. A domestic military that has been purged since the Obama administration and hasn't the manpower to put boots on the ground in one country, let alone two. An admitted depletion of weaponry, whether it be tanks, ammunition, aircraft, having sent them to Ukraine, a depleted fuel supply in the United States due to shutting down the Keystone Pipeline and draining United States reserves for political purposes. Add to that an ongoing invasion of America with Biden's open border policy, with millions of unvetted military-age men crossing our borders from all over the world that we, the United States, have bombed their countries at one time or another, and we're already seeing the result of people residing here with no love of our country, no love of our history, or our people, for that matter. It's a ticking time bomb, a recipe for disaster. In fact, it looks as if it is all being done by design. And the question is, where are the diplomats of years past? Where have the intelligent men capable of brokering peace gone? Has the arrogance and corruption in governments now superseded logic? Now, granted, war would take the focus off Joe Biden's congressional investigations and Hunter Biden's laptop surprises, as well as take Netanyahu off the hot seat regarding his serious legal issues in Israel. And speaking of Netanyahu, I feel it necessary, since all life currently sharing this planet may well be looking down the barrel of a nuclear exchange, we all might want to hear this. This is out of the Middle Eastern Monitor, dated just yesterday, or no, actually 2 days ago, October 16th, 2023. The title, "The Most Dangerous Man in the World is Enabled by Hypocrites in the West." This is an article by a lady named Yvonne Ridley. She starts with, "He," in talking about Netanyahu, "is the most dangerous leader in our world today. An unhinged psychopath in charge of nuclear weapons who has spent a lifetime dehumanizing his enemy and dismissing them and their children as animals. Instead of being condemned by the so-called civilized world, however, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is being supported and defended, even though, or perhaps because, he is committing war crimes against the Palestinian people." Now, I want you to do me a favor. Go into the AmericanAwakening.org, and I want you to watch his performance on a video that I have posted on that website. And by the way, not to mention, that video was recorded long before. I actually watched that video, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. So this was recorded 2 or 3 years ago. Okay, this video was recorded long before this, I think it was October 7th, Hamas attack on Israel. This is a man erupting with toxic hubris right now, who will never recover from the public humiliation delivered to him by Hamas fighters just over the weekend of the 7th. The Zionist keyboard warriors will be thumping outraged responses to these words, I'm sure. But before they do, they should take some time to read this article from the Jerusalem Post. This is an Israeli newspaper. This was just posted the other day. "Israelis blame their government for the Hamas massacre, and they say that Netanyahu must resign." And they took a poll on this. An overwhelming majority of 86% of the respondents, including 79% of the coalition supporters, said that surprise attack from Gaza is a failure of the country's leadership. Now, that was put out by the Jerusalem Post staff just six days ago, October 12th. 4 out of 5 Jewish Israelis believe the government and Prime Minister Netanyahu are to blame for the mass infiltration of Hamas terrorists into Israel and the massacre that followed. This is a new dialogue poll, the Center poll that was released just this past Thursday. Now, we know that people in many, many countries are not fond of their government. This country is no exception, okay? But the people of Israel themselves, 86% of the respondents say that they believe that Netanyahu must resign. Now, astonishingly, an overwhelming majority of the 86% of respondents, including 79% of Israel's far-right coalition government, that's Netanyahu's crew right there. That far-right coalition government supporters, they said the surprise attack from Gaza was a failure of the country's leadership. Yes, that's right. 4 out of 5 Jewish Israelis believe that the government and Netanyahu are to blame for the mass infiltration by Hamas in Israel and the killings that followed, according to that new Dialogue Center poll that was released just 5 days after the attack. The Israeli citizenry and most of its leadership feel the same way as the masses of peace-loving souls around the world. They don't want war. We don't want war. I don't want war. And they don't like their current leader. Now, I'm taking a step further here. It is a poll that is being analyzed widely by the Arab and Asian media, but it is being given a wide berth by the mainstream media in the West, which has yet to catch up with the reality of the dissenting Israelis on the ground. The Western media is not reporting the dissent of the Israelis, okay? And how shameful that a once great liberal newspaper like The Observer has published an out-of-touch article in the unbridled moment of psychosis. And sadly, it is not alone, because the mainstream media in Britain, in Europe, and America is focusing instead on the obscene violence of Israel's revenge bombing and collective punishment, a war crime of civilians in the Gaza Strip. Having been duped into pushing out fake news from pro-Israel propagandists instead of apologizing to its readers, the Daily Telegraph took the extraordinary decision to publish a photograph released by the Israeli government that appears to show the body of a baby murdered by Hamas fighters. The blood-stained infant, still dressed in baby gross suit and nappy, lies inside a white plastic body bag. Now, having seen such sights many times in the killing fields of Palestine, in Iraq, in Syria, in Afghanistan, and parts of U.S. drone hit Pakistan, the image is genuine, and as human beings, all of us, we all bleed and hurt in the same way. Bodies that are riddled with bullets frequently do not reveal the once living person's skin color, their nationality, or their religion. We are all God's creation. It is almost impossible to distinguish between heroes and villains when looking at the corpses of war in Gaza today. The baby's face is blurred out. How sensitive of Tel Aviv. But all anyone looking at this picture will see is an innocent victim of a brutal occupation and war. Had this been a Palestinian baby, and at the time of writing the death toll stands at 637 children in Gaza, and Israeli forces have killed 7 Palestinian children in the occupied West Bank in the last 24 hours. Now remember, this article was written days ago. It's higher than that now, folks. Netanyahu would not have looked twice before dismissing the child as an animal. That's what he and his ministers in Israel regard the Palestinians as. Men, women, and children alike. So, world leaders might continue to defend Israel's unrestrained vengeance against Gaza, but their citizens do not. In the streets of London, in Glasgow, in Paris, in Berlin, and many major U.S. cities across this country saw huge gatherings at the weekend protesting against the inhumanity of the Zionist state. Now, remember, not all Jews are Zionists, and not all Zionists are Jews. Joe Biden claims he's a Zionist. He's not Jewish. Jewish is it's a religion, okay? Judaism. Zionism is a political movement. This was not a show of anti-Semitism on an industrial scale, as pro-Israel ministers and lobbyists alike would have us believe. How could it be, with so many Jews, including rabbis among the protesters? However, there has been a backlash in Jewish communities, as there is every time that Israel uses disproportionate violence against Palestinians. And this betrays a lack of knowledge and understanding by the perpetrators. Nevertheless, not all Jews are Zionists, and not all Zionists are Jews. Look at the British politicians who declare their Zionism openly, in both words and deeds. And look at the millions of rabidly far-right Christian Zionists in America. Donald Trump supporters who support the most extreme right-wing government in Israel's history unconditionally. This alone suggests that the majority of Zionists are not Jews, but people with religious or political reasons of their own for supporting the apartheid state of Israel. And make no mistake, it is not a democracy. It is definitely an apartheid state, folks. So, in London, hundreds of thousands marched in support of Gaza. There is another backlash coming, but it is being reserved for those world leaders who support Israel unreservedly. This was highlighted by the former chair of Britain's Foreign Affairs Committee, Crispin Blunt, who says that the UK's unqualified support puts Britain in legal peril. Now, Blunt is a conservative, by the way. It is almost unprecedented for an MP to criticize his own government in this way. Crispin Blunt is a signatory to the notice of intention to prosecute the UK government officials for aiding and abetting war crimes in Gaza. And the formal letter has been sent by the International Center of Justice for Palestinians to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, the Foreign Secretary James Cleverly, and the Attorney General Victoria Prentice. And I hope they also include opposition leader Sir Keir Starmer and members of the Labour Party National Executive Committee. All of these politicians, when pressed about war crimes being committed, insist on Israel's alleged right to defend itself. An occupation state has no such legal or moral right against the people living under its occupation. And make no mistake, Gaza is nothing more than an open-air prison. These people have been in an open-air prison for the past 75 years. And now, just now, in light of the latest events that have transpired, this is now starting to get international attention on the scale of the citizenry around the world. Besieged Gaza is an open-air prison resisting Israel's colonization of Palestine. Boyle almost single-handedly won two world court orders for the Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina against Yugoslavia to cease and desist from committing all acts of genocide against the Republic of Bosnia and Herzegovina in 1993. This was the first time ever that any lawyer, let alone government, had won two such orders in one case since the court was founded in 1921. The author of The Bosnian People Charge Genocide went on to say Article 2 of the Genocide Convention defines the international crime of genocide in relevant part as follows. In the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group as such, killing members of the group, causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its destruction, its physical destruction, in whole or in part. They've shut off the water and electricity in Gaza, folks. Do you think Israel qualifies in this regard? He also added that this is exactly what Israel is doing today to the people of Gaza, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about their physical destruction in whole or in part. The Zionists have been doing this since they imposed their siege on Gaza starting in 2007. This writer says that she's been back and forth, all up and down, all over Gaza. And Gaza, she compares it just like the Dachau concentration camp that she also visited. Besieged Gaza is an open-air prison resisting Israel's colonization of Palestine. She goes on to say that she first met Francis Boyle, Dr. Francis Boyle, in Malaysia in November of 2011 when then-President George W. Bush and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair were found guilty of war crimes at a mock trial after 2 years of investigation by the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Commission. An authentic tribunal consisting of five judges with judicial and academic backgrounds reached a unanimous verdict that both Bush and Blair were guilty of war crimes against peace, crimes against humanity, and genocide due to their roles in the 2003 Iraq invasion and war. Now, once he gets the bit between his teeth, he would reduce the likes of Sunak, French President Emmanuel Macron, Starmer and Labour MP Lisa Nandy to quivering wrecks at The Hague. And someone who would agree with Francis Boyle is Israeli historian Professor Ilan Pape, author of The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, who concludes that Israel's genocidal policy against the Palestinians has been unremitting, extending from before the foundation of the State of Israel in 1948 and is ongoing even now, and especially against the 2.3 million Palestinians living in Gaza, with the backdrop of Operation Cast Lead and Protective Edge, both euphemisms for Zionist genocide against the Palestinians and the people of Gaza in the 2008 and 2009 and 2014, respectively. The evidence of war crimes and atrocities has been available for years. And what sickens me about this, because I've studied this intensely, folks, what sickens me about this is the United States government and several other governments around the world turn a blind eye and unconditionally support this. Dr. Francis Boyle marched courageously into the U.S. Embassy in Israel in order to complain vigorously about the Israeli war crimes. "You know what they told me," he said. "This was an internal affair of Israel. In other words, the United States government was not going to get involved, was not going to do anything at all about it, and if I didn't agree with that decision, I could take it up with the State Department in Washington, D.C. Well, he says, "I know, of course, that that would be a waste of time, so he didn't do it. The United States at that time wasn't going to get involved and was not going to do anything at all about it." The difference between then and now is then they weren't going to get involved. Now they are involved. And I said before earlier in this broadcast, this is a trap. If you are in any doubt where you should be standing right now, I would suggest that it is by the side of the Palestinian people who are the victims of genocides, because Zionists have a long history of attacking civilians. And by the way, it wasn't the Palestinian people, the women, the children, the men that go to work and they have to go through all these gates and checkpoints before they ever get there. And it takes them God knows how long just to get back and forth. It was Hamas that incited this attack. So, turning terrorists into heroes a year ago and recently on social media, this reporter listened to Ursula von der Leyen calling for Russia to be charged with war crimes, listing the crimes committed in Ukraine. And she said that they include direct attacks against civilians, torture, ill treatment, summary executions, and not even children are being spared. And in another speech, she cited the cutting off of electricity and water as a war crime. We're not talking about Israel right now. We're talking about Russia. Okay, this was a year ago. What has the president of the EU Commission said about Israel cutting off electricity, water, and humanitarian aid, ordering the evacuation of 22 hospitals in Gaza? Israel's collective punishment of the Palestinians and the order for 1.1 million Palestinians to get out of Gaza City. What has she said about that? A big fat nothing. She is a hypocrite and is enabling war crimes. Some might even call her a racist, driven to protect the innocent European children of Ukraine, but lacking in any compassion whatsoever for the innocent Arab children of Gaza. The siege of Gaza didn't begin last week with the Hamas attack, nor did Israel's ethnic cleansing and occupation. They are the root causes of the issue. Not Hamas, terrorism. Israel imposed its blockade back in 2007 and has maintained it ever since. The latest move tightened an already near watertight siege. It is collective punishment, a war crime under the Geneva Convention. But none of these participating countries, they all turn a blind eye. They don't seem to want to pay any attention to that. And there is a special place in hell reserved for hypocrites like von der Leyen, Sunak, Biden, all encompassed, and many others. The majority of Israelis who blame Netanyahu for failing to protect them should also spare some of that blame for Western politicians who enable him, and I'm talking about Netanyahu, and his settler colonial state to act with impunity. You cannot deliver peace through the barrel of a gun. And keeping quiet is not being neutral. In the words of the late anti-apartheid campaigner Archbishop Desmond Tutu, silence is to side with the oppressor. Shame on all who do so. Oh, and just to, by the way, this is also posted on my website, theamericanawakening.org. You'll find a video of the Israeli missile strike just this past Tuesday, 2 days ago, that killed 500 people, women, hospital patients, and mostly children. And of course, Israel is blaming Hamas, and Biden is supporting Israel's claim. And just so you know, Hamas doesn't possess those deadly missiles like the one that was fired. And if you want to see which one or what kind of missile was fired, go into my website and take a look. There are demonstrations going on all over the world regarding this issue, and the 75-year plight of the Palestinians is now finally starting to surface. But the question is it too late? Is the arrogance, the hubris, the corruption of these so-called leaders going to lead us, you and me, all of our brothers and sisters around the world, into Armageddon? Or are there any among us with the common sense, the compassion, the wisdom, the being pragmatist to see that these actions are not the solution? That's the question. The question we all have to ask ourselves. So as we watch this unfold, the dynamics of this, the Biden administration unquestioningly, unconditionally supporting Israel. Okay? And by the way, folks, I'm not taking sides here. I've looked at this very closely. I have watched what not the Israeli people, but the Israeli government has done to the Palestinian people in that open-air prison. And I've watched it for years, dating all the way back when some of you may recall Rachel Corrie, who was bulldozed trying to protect these illegal settlements that were going on, where the Israelis were going in, throwing Palestinians out of their homes and claiming the property as their own. This has been going on for years, and it's been being covered up. The United States government, the mainstream media, says nothing about it. And if you're not aware of it, ignorance is bliss. You would never know. Now the truth is starting to come out. And so what we have here is we have a number of countries, UK, France, Italy, United States, that are they're pledging their undying allegiance to a country that, and as I mentioned last week in my my show, Deja Vu, all over again, they have a map, and this map has been around a long time. It's called the Greater Expansion of Israel Project. And if you go into my website, theamericanawakening.org, and you take a good hard look at that map, you'll see a lot of these countries that we're speaking of just coincidentally happen to be in that map with the brilliant idea originally put forth by Theodor Herzl in, I believe it was 1896, later re-upped with the Odin Yainan Project, and then now it's called the Greater Expansion of Israel Project. A lot of these countries in that map coincidentally just tie in with these countries that are, shall we say, on the target list. So what are the motivations here? It looks to me, and this is only my opinion, it looks to me as if they want to completely eliminate the Palestinian people from the face of the earth, the West Bank, Gaza Strip, all of it, and claim Israel for themselves. Ukraine as well ties into this to a degree, because Ukraine, before it was named Ukraine many, 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 many years ago, was called Khazaria. It is the home of the Ashkenazis, the Ashkenazi Jews, which will go back and read their history. They actually declared to be Jews, and I think it was 800 AD, somewhere around that area. Don't quote me on that. But the bottom line is, let's surmise this and see what's adding up here. The United States government has declared allegiance to Israel. They, as we speak, have sent, I believe, one or two carrier groups over to the Middle East. And they claim that they are going to back up Israel. The problem with that is that this massacre that's going on right now as we speak, it's going on with Palestinians. Palestinians are not Hamas and vice versa. Hamas is a governing body. They were implemented, they were funded by Israel back in the days of the PLO. So, like many people in the United States, like many people around the world, the Palestinians don't even like Hamas. A lot of the Israeli people, as I mentioned earlier, don't even like their government. Yet the Israeli government is right now just pummeling the Gaza Strip, killing untold thousands of people. Now, the rest of the Muslim community, and I'm talking about people all over the world, in Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Lebanon, Iran, they're not happy bunnies. And there's 2 billion of them. And a lot of these people, a lot of the forces in Iran and Hezbollah and so forth, they do have missiles and they do have nukes. And the United States government seems to want to get right in the middle of this. This is not their war. They've called for many years the United States being the policeman of the world. I don't view it that way. Since the inception of this country, when the United States was declared independent, July 4th, 1776. There's only been 12 years of that entire 247-year history that the United States has not been at war with someone. Okay? So when they call this the defense budget, oh, it's a $1 trillion defense budget this year, it shouldn't be called a defense budget. It should be called an offense budget. Now, one other thing I want to add to the mix as we speak here. And this is organized by the UN. This is funded to a great degree by United States taxpayers. It's the open border, where Right now, as we speak, we have a correspondent by the name of Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel that are covering what's happening down on the southern border of the United States. And what they determine is there's about 300,000 migrants, they call them migrants, I call them illegals, that are coming in every month. These people are unvetted. They have been filmed. More than half of them are military age men. And they're not just coming from Mexico. They're coming from all over the world. They're coming from countries that at one point in time, the United States has bombed, such as Iraq, such as Afghanistan. They're coming from Syria. They're coming, pick a country. They're coming from everywhere. They're not vetting these people. Not only are they not vetting them, they're throwing a carrot in front of their, the carrot and the stick, a carrot in front of your nose. Come on in. We're going to give you free health care, hospitalization. We're going to give you a place to live. We're going to give you UBT cards. We're going to give you $2,200 a month. This is all being funded by American taxpayers. How could we afford that? But out of that percentage, and by the way, the UN has just stepped in and wants to up that number to 1 million a month. They are overrunning. They are invading this country. And the question is, what percentage of those people are actually here for reasons that might be, let's say, a little bit more nefarious than what they're letting us know? So keep that in mind. Let's see here. I have to give me a second here, folks. I want to. There we go. Okay. Anyway, there's a couple of other points that I wanted to touch base on. Give me a second. And, back to the migrants, the illegals that are coming into this country. What percentage of these people are coming into this country with some other nefarious plan? And who's to say that these people aren't deliberately being brought in here to set up different cells throughout this country? As a matter of fact, Senator Tom Cotton just wrote a letter to DHS, this is just yesterday, telling the Department of Homeland Security to deport any foreign nationals who support Hamas. Okay? Now, we have for many years here in the United States, a lot of us have had the attitude, well, as long as it doesn't affect me over here, okay? And we've heard the old saying back in during 9/11, well, we've got to get them over there before they come over and unleash a nuclear bomb over here. What's happening now, 20 years after the fact, is we're letting them in here. We're not vetting who they are. We're not policing or screening them at all. And all of these demonstrations that have been going on all around the world, including here in the United States in major cities, that tinderbox that I mentioned originally back when I first started this podcast, that tinderbox is right here in a town near you. And the question is, what's going to tip it off? It is my belief that the United States government, whether knowingly or unknowingly or deliberately, is walking into a trap. They are being dragged in to a larger conflict involving the Middle East. And it's possible that they're doing it deliberately because of the scrutiny that Joe Biden and his administration are being held under, the congressional investigations that happen to be going on as we speak, the corruption, the bribery, the money laundering that has been going on and is being uncovered, not with just Joe Biden, but his entire family. A war would take that focus and take the heat off of Joe Biden. A similar thing holds true with Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, okay? Because he had been under investigation. There is an immense amount of allegations and, from what I understand, court cases against Benjamin Netanyahu for corruption, for fraud, and so forth. And what better to divert the focus off of their personal difficulties, if you will, but a war? But the problem with this is a number of countries that are keeping a close eye on this right now, inclusive of Iran, Russia, China, these are not just third world countries like Iraq or Syria. These people possess nuclear weapons. So these people that have been walking around for years saying, oh, as long as it doesn't affect me, well, What you don't realize, a lot of people, is it's affecting you right now. It affects you every time you go to the gas pump. It affects you every time you go to the grocery store with inflation. And when Joe Biden turned off the Keystone Pipeline and he started depleting the reserves, where is Joe Biden had the temerity, he had the arrogance to say, oh yeah, we can fight a war on two fronts. Where's the fuel going to come from, Joe Biden? Because you've depleted the majority of our fuel reserves. And these people over in Saudi Arabia, you know, Iran and so forth, these, you know, Saudi Arabia supplying the gas, they're not going to side with you. All they have to do is say, I'm sorry, we're not selling you any more fuel. Will that affect the American people? You bet, because you're going to be out of oil. You're going to be out of gas. You're going to be out of diesel. You're not going to be able to go anywhere. And what's worse is that neither are the trucks that ship in your groceries. So when you people, or the people out there that say, oh, I'm not worried about it, it doesn't affect me as long as it's over there and not over here. Oh, it is going to affect you. Many, many fold more than it's affecting you right now, which you may or may not even realize. So I want you to keep that in mind as I scroll through here. And of course, I wanted to touch before I end this broadcast today. Let's see. Give me a second here, folks. I have to see how much time I've got left. I've got a few minutes. Okay. Anyway, as far as this hospital bombing that just happened the other day, the Al Ali Hospital was blown up and set ablaze after Israel struck it for the second time. The first time they struck it was last Saturday, and it injured four people and destroyed some equipment. But three hospital staff members had also lost their homes due to the Israel bombings. The second missile strike was just this past Tuesday. This killed 500 people. And of course, Israel claims that they didn't do it. It's very hard to deny, being as the missile, which is on my website, go look at it for yourself, is an Israeli missile. Hamas does not possess those. Altogether, folks, 34 other healthcare facilities have been damaged or destroyed by Israel's terrorist attacks in the opening days of the terror campaign. So I pose this question to you. If indeed Israel is retaliating for the attack by Hamas, not by the Palestinians, but by Hamas, then why is it that they're targeting Palestinian hospitals, killing as many people as they're killing? They've killed thousands already. Can you see, do you detect, as I do, the duplicity here? They're blaming their enemies for something that they've done themselves. Now, the World Health Organization has reported 34 attacks on healthcare centers in the Gaza Strip, resulting in the death of 11 healthcare workers on duty. And that was 6 days ago. And on Saturday, the Anglican Archbishop in Jerusalem, Dr. Hossam Naoum, reported on social media that the Al-Ahi Arab Hospital, located in Gaza City in the north of the area, had been hit by a missile, leaving four staff members injured and the ultrasound in the mammography room damaged. And the Anglican Hospital was the oldest one in Gaza, established in 1882, and was sold 66 years before Israel even existed. Now, with that happening, does that sound to you like they are simply seeking out and looking for members of Hamas? From Al Jazeera, who, by the way, Israel has already stated they are going to ban from Israel. They're kicking him out. Okay. There's another breaking story. The question is, will Gaza be Israel's Stalingrad? Because despite far superior military capabilities, Israel could find itself trapped in Gaza. That deadly bombing of the Al-Ahi Arab Hospital in Gaza City on Tuesday night, which killed at least 500 people, has sparked a global outrage and triggered another round of mutual accusations. Now, the Palestinian side is convinced that the explosion was caused by another smart bomb dropped from an Israeli Air Force plane. But Israel was quick to point the blame at Palestinian fighters, claiming that the blast was caused by a rocket fired from Gaza that failed to reach full flight trajectory, which, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, folks, but failing to reach full flight trajectory? I don't think so. The scant evidence available in the immediate aftermath is insufficient to draw definite conclusions, but only a careful analysis of the debris left at the hospitals that should uncover fragments of the outer shell of the device that exploded could result in a positive identification. Yet, even before this latest attack, there was a growing volume of evidence indicating that the Israeli air raids on Palestinians in Gaza have been largely indiscriminate. Most careful target analysis failed to reveal a clear military pattern in the relentless aerial pounding, forcing the question, what logic prompted the Israeli call to Palestinians to evacuate northern Gaza last week? From a military strategy perspective, there are two possible answers. And for Israel, either one would be a mistake. The first possibility could be the desire to create such chaos on the roads of the Gaza Strip that the movement of Hamas fighters would become difficult or almost impossible. That logic would follow classic military thinking, proven many times in different wars. But this is not a classic war with two equal sides, nor are Hamas fighters a classic military formation. Any Israeli approach that does not recognize that cannot guarantee even limited success. And over the years of Israel's blockade of the enclave, Hamas fighters created a cobweb of tunnels dug under the Gaza Strip. For obvious military reasons, their very existence was a closely guarded Palestinian military secret, and even when their presence could no longer be denied, only the vaguest information was allowed to leak out. So they are, well, still shrouded in mystery. It appears that the practice of digging passages under the ground first started with the need to overcome Israeli occupation of the territory that lasted all the way up to 2005. And first speculations that Gaza Palestinians might be smuggling goods or military supplies and classic contraband appeared in the 1990s, at the time when the Strip was still under the political control of Fatah. Initially, those tunnels were assumed to be very rudimentary, long enough to pass under the border fence with Egypt, with entrances on both sides hidden by houses. And they ran for, you know, a couple hundred meters and were so small that people had to crouch to use them. Whoever visited the Sarajevo tunnel, a structure hastily dug by the army of Bosnia and Herzegovina in mid-1993 to relieve the siege of the city, can imagine what the early Egyptian Gaza tunnels probably looked like. A narrow, cramped, hand-dug tube with a low ceiling held by beams and poles. In time, the cross-border tunnels became very effective means of smuggling supplies into Gaza, and the network expanded inside the Palestinian territory as well, allowing for free movement away from prying civilians who would have been enemy informants and Israeli surveillance equipment ranging from satellites, airplanes, and helicopters. The bottom line to this, folks, is this has been going on for 75 years. And if you haven't already, being as that pretty much the life of the planet now, any living being on this planet has a possibility of becoming extinct because of that tinderbox and because one wrong move, one wrong button press could result in a nuclear exchange, I would encourage you as listeners, to go in and start doing some history on the Israeli-Palestinian problem. Because it doesn't just start here. It goes way back over 100 years. Anybody that knows anything about the Balfour Declaration, World War I, goes through World War II, when the settlers, all the way between World War I and World War II, was Israeli settlers were invited, they were encouraged, they were enticed to go to Israel. And during that time, during that span, there was the Irgun, the Stern Gang, Hamada, I believe is the name of it. There were terrorist gangs that were going in and killing Palestinians. This, at that time, that state was called Palestine. It would be like wherever you happen to be on the planet. It would be like you living in Spain or living in France or living in the United States or Canada. Or pick a nation, Japan. And somebody coming in over a period of time, terrorizing you, stealing your property, kicking you out of your house, raping your wives, killing your children, and so forth, over a span of many, many, many generations, to the point that we've got to now. And now, it's all coming to a head. The thing that disturbs me the most about this is that, yes, this is an ugly, disgusting situation. This is something that anyone, what I said earlier in the broadcast, where have all the good men gone? Where are all the people that with the ability to cognitively think and offer up a settlement? It wouldn't be difficult. Not at all. Think about this. Israel wants this territory for, they don't want to say, but it's no secret, the Greater Expansion of Israel project. What if there was an offer made? Look at all of the billions of dollars that are being spent right now with aid to Ukraine. Look at all the billions of dollars that are spent right now with the support, the enticement of all of these illegals pouring over the border. Look at all of the billions of dollars that are being spent right now in giving money to each of these adult immigrants that are coming in to the tune of $2,200 a month, which is, by the way, really pissing off the senior citizens of this country. Because they worked all their lives to get their meager Social Security checks, and now they're being handed out like candy to people who were never even born and raised here. Okay? Take that in consideration, all those billions of dollars that are being put out on all of these ridiculous policies that this government has. Take that money and offer the people of Palestine a place to go. Offer them a stipend of money. Pick a place geographically, clear it off, wherever it may be, peacefully take them out of there and displace them. Take them out of their open air prison and replant them somewhere else. The world is a big place. You know, the rumor is that, there's too many people on the planet. We need to get rid of them. You know, population, that's not true. The entire planet, the entire population of the world, folks, would fit in Texas. So the fact that this world is overpopulated is nothing more than an excuse for globalists to proceed with their population reduction plans, which, by the way, speaking of that, COVID didn't work this time around, did it? They tried to roll it out again last month, and it fell flat on its face. Climate change. That story's starting to fall flat as well. Notice how they roll it out, see if it works. They test it. First time, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. They rolled out COVID. Everybody bought it. This time around, second time, they rolled it out. Nobody bought it. Now they've moved on. Now they're moving on to escalating the war for their nefarious plans. Think about what I've told you today, folks. I'm going to be coming back shortly with another podcast as the progression, as these events unfold, and do my best to keep you informed as to both sides of what's happening here. In the meantime, I would suggest strongly that you do your own research. Take a good, hard look at the history behind how they've gotten to where they are today. And also take a look at an Israeli map in 1947. You'll find out that that map used to belong 100% to Palestine. I think they gave 12% of it to Israel in 1948. And since 1948 to 2023, now the Palestinians occupy less than 10%. The other 80% has been taken through illegal settlements by Israel. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Michael Herzog, America Awakening. Bye for now.